Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears. Cam Kardashian. Paris Hilton. Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E.
Look at you!
All right, honey, buddy, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Here, hammer. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Boy, it was powerful. This is a no-win situation. I'll give you a call in about an hour and a half. You know what I mean? I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
Johnson, and I am Stephen Hawkins. I'm the smartest man in the world.
No, you're not.
I have a brain injury, but a mighty, powerful penis.
I've told you.
Good morning,
everybody. The smartest man in the world.
Yes, you did. What was his name?
His name was Walter O'Brien.
That's right, you did. I can't get that song out of my head, Ellen. Let Melissa, Melissa, Sammy School knows. Sammy School?
Yes.
The Lion King, the song.
Hakuna Matata.
Oh, Simba. Yeah, little Simba.
Hakuna Matata. It's so wonderful.
Can you see, how does it start? Can't
Hakuna
figure it out.
Hakuna Matata. I think that's it.
Hakuna Matata.
Oliver has
Go
a
ahead,
Lion King blanket. He loves it.
Hakuna, Is it Matata?
Hakuna Matata. Matata.
Hakuna
Matata. M-A-T-A-T-A.
Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna Matata.
No, 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 how no, please.
This,
Matata? Oh. Is it Matata?
I can't. It's,
yeah, it
Matata. How does it go?
It's Hakuna Matata.
I
can't get it out of my head. I can't remember the song.
Mr. Hawkins will know how to sing it. Have the Hawk sing it.
Melissa.
Yeah. Oh, the Hawk. The Hawk has already been. Yeah.
Yeah, the Hawk has already been here enough. He doesn't need to come back again.
That's as bad as when Joe does Tiny, right?
Yeah.
And he's no worries for the rest of your life. It's our problem free. And also be Hakuna Matata. Yeah, that's it. Wow. Talk about upscale news show. That's right. Breaking news. Hakuna Matata.
Hmm.
Ah.
Why, when he was a young warthog?
When I was a young warthog!
Oliver is going to love this song.
He found his aroma like a certain.
He has a blanket. He loves it.
In a savannah after every meal.
I'm a sensitive soul. Now I sing X-Skin. And it hurts. But my friends never stood down a wheel.
Feel good, chill. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Doesn't it make you
love
feel
it.
It yep. feels good.
Next time play
There's
Baby
another
Shark.
One of my
That's Oliver's favorite song.
Is it really?
Oh my God. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Oliver
yep.
X, man. There's another song I like, the religious song. It's one of my favorites. But you know what we'll play?
Yeah.
One of my one of Melissa's favorites. Let's play one of Melissa's old favorites, okay?
Okay. All right.
Okay. Ellen, can you guess what Melissa's favorite is?
Oh, jeez.
On the show. I could guess.
On the show?
On the show?
On the show.
I don't even know.
One of your favorites. One of your favorites.
I have no idea. What is her favorite song on the show?
Is it
Dead
Diane?
Really?
Is it Craig Christ? Oh, Craig Christ.
Oh.
What did you just say, Melissa?
Because Brian said religious. He
yeah,
said religious.
I figured it was Dead Diane.
Craig Christ, you're right. That's one of them. But her all-time favorite.
I love Craig Christ. Yeah. Go ahead.
Do you like Craig Christ?
I do love Craig Christ. Yeah. Yeah.
I bet you there's one you love even more.
All
right. Really? Okay, well, I'll play it. You
I can't
me.
Even think
is
of
that
it.
Yours?
Okay.
Oh, come on. It's me and you.
Oh, come
okay,
on.
Let me, all right, here we go. I'll tell you what it is.
Okay.
Ready? Here it is.
Yeah.
You tell me. You tell me if this is not your favorite.
Okay.
It won't play. It won't play. Come on. Wow, it won't play.
I'm talking with Charles Ramsey. He's a neighbor. Walk me through again what happened this afternoon.
I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arms.
Dad,
give it away.
Come on. Dad, give it
away.
Give it
away. My neighbor
got beat. Melissa, right?
Uh-oh. What happened to Melissa? And Arkansas Mike is in the studio too, Brian.
Okay, good. Wait a minute.
Now you
got to
play Big Christ. Yeah, Melissa's still in the studio. Melissa?
She's probably changing. She's probably changing Oliver X. Okay, hold on. I'm having problems with this studio because we're going to have a good show today, everybody. We're going to have a great show. But these are our favorites in the studio, though. I think that was one of Melissa's favorites. Okay, I got to do. We're going to have some fun with Mike. Now, Sweet Booty Mike will be in the studio soon. Here's the interview.
Oh, did you know that, Sweet Booty Pete was here in New Orleans, too, at the Essence Festival.
Was he really?
Hey, Charles, let me talk to you. I'm talking with Charles Ramsey. He's a neighbor. Walk me through again what happened this afternoon. You heard screaming.
Heard screaming. I meet my McDonald's. I come outside. I see this girl going nuts trying to get out of her house. So I go on the porch.
Okay.
I go on the porch. And she says, help me get out. I've been in here a long time. So, you know, I figured it's a domestic violence dispute. So I open the door, and we can't get in that way because how the door is, it's so much that the body can't fit through, only your hand. So we kick the bottom. And she comes out with the little girl, and she says, call 911. My name is Amanda Berry.
Now, did you know who that was when she said that?
When she told me, it didn't register. Until I got to call the 911, and then I'm like, I'm calling the 911 for Amanda Berry. I thought this girl was dead. You know what I mean? And she got on the phone and she said, yes, this is me. And the detective Cook, right here, Detective Gregory Cook says, Charles, do you know who you rescued? I said.
Now, and when did you see Gina?
About five.
We're good.
So about 5 minutes after the police got here, see, the girl Amanda told the police, I ain't just the only one. It's some more girls up in that house. So they went up there, you know, 30, 40 deep, and when they came out, it was just astonishing because I thought they were going to come up with nothing. Whoever she was, and like I say, my neighbor, you got some big testicles to pull this off, bro, because we see this dude every day. I mean, every day.
How long have you lived here?
I've been here a year.
Okay.
You see where I'm coming from?
Right.
I barbecue with this dude. We eat ribs and whatnot and listen to salsa music. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah. And you had no indication that there was anything going on?
Bro, not a clue that girl was in that house or anybody else was in there against their will. Because how he is, he just comes out to his backyard, plays with the dogs, tinker with his cars and motorcycles, goes back in the house. So he's somebody that you look and you look away because he's not doing nothing but the average stuff. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's nothing exciting about him. Well, until the day.
what was the reaction on the girls' faces? I can't imagine to see the sunlight, to be
Bro,
around people.
I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arms. Something is wrong here. Dead giveaway.
Charles, thank you very
Dead
much.
Dead giveaway.
Thank you very much for your time. And
either she homeless or she got problems. That's the only reason why she run to a black man.
Charles, thank you for being there, man. Charles Ramsey, neighbor, heard the screaming, took action, went and did what he needed to do. The rest is unfolding before us here on CMR. I'm going to send it back to you.
There you go. Something wrong.
There was something wrong with that.
Something is wrong. What a pretty
I'm talking with
girl.
Charles Ramsey. He's a neighbor. Walk me through again what happened this afternoon.
I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arms. Dead giveaway.
Dead giveaway.
My neighbor got big tentacles because we see this dude every day. We eat ribs with this dude. But we didn't have a clue that girl was in that house. She said, please help me get out. Kick the bottom. And she comes out and she says, it's some old girls up in that house. Call 911 and they called him and McDonald's. I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arms. They're giving away.
Charles Ramsey.
Yeah.
And the other one, you know what I'm starting to like, Melissa? The one from Five Guys. Five Guys.
What one's that?
You like that one. Damn. Let me see.
I'm hoping we can talk about this. I found a video for you to play.
Did you
it
really?
Ties into this whole. Yeah, it's the KDJ's testimony. It's on Vimeo.
Oh yeah.
Have you heard it?
I haven't heard it yet. I want you to play it for me. Here you go, Melissa.
I will send
you.
It. Okay.
Okay. Send in my Facebook, kiddo.
Okay.
This is for you, Melissa. You remember this one. This is my new one now that I said it like. Let me see. That's a guy who's eating at Five Guys restaurant. I mean, Five Guys takeout.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my damn. Oh, my goodness. Nicholas Ham. Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
my damn. Oh, my goodness. Nicholas Ham. This is how I'm supposed to be.
I've never heard
the
commercial before.
I have. You didn't hear that one, Ellen?
Uh-uh.
Oh,
nope.
That's a good one. I like that one. All right, everybody. Melissa got some stories. What's wrong with my phone? My ears are not working. It sounds mute. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday. If it's Tuesday, it's Mike Bromo. He's going to come down. He's going to come into the studio. He's going to give
us
a 411
on the
politics.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to lay the...
Damn!
That's what he's going to do. You know, if you... Mike brings the sexy talk to politics. That's what he does. He comes in here, he lays it down, and he gives you a little pillow talk for the politics.
Mm.
Yeah, that's what Mike does. He's like the soulful voice of politics. So he's going to come in and Sweet Booty Cheeks Mike Bromo. He'll be in pretty soon. Our second half of this, our second half of our show is going to be with Melissa. Did you see my post? Did you see my post promoting the show? For Allison O'Donnell.
I went in quick and dropped that. And Melissa.
Oh, okay.
No
nonsense,
well,
she's going to come
man.
In. Huh?
I did it. No nonsense.
No nonsense.
Dropped it and left.
What? What?
Oh.
What did you drop?
The link. I put the Vimeo in for you.
I got it right here. Thank you, kiddo.
Okay.
So
I think you're gonna, you guys are going to be like,
wow.
Wait till you hear some of it, and you're like, give me a break. But anyway, I don't want to set it up.
Really?
I want you to make your own minds up. Yep.
Okay, I'll play
yep.
that. Sammy School sent us an exclusive. Sammy School, that's Melissa. That's when she's on the job. She's so popular.
Oh,
that
here he is.
She got the Pulitzer, Sammy School.
Yeah, Pulitzer.
Pulitzer.
Remember that? God, was I quick that day. Wasn't that quick?
You were so quick.
I was on fire.
You were. Allison O'Donnell will come in our second half, and she's going to talk about dating online. Her name of her book is Stupid Cupid, The Guide to Dating Online. And we're going to be talking about sex and
Ooh.
Sex, and I have some questions. You know, we'll have some fun with her today. You know what we'll do? I got some Dear Abby stuff that I'll do the question and see what her answer is compared to Dear Abby's answer about love.
Hmm.
What do you think? What do you think?
Oh, that's
awesome. Yeah.
And the question that everybody's asking is on everybody's mind, and this will be in Allison's segment, is anal sex dangerous?
Hmm.
And what are the repercussions of having anal sex? That's right. We get to the real questions, the real meat of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be okay. Yeah, we are a
You'll
professional show. So, yeah, we'll be okay. Let's start the show. Let's say good morning to Arkansas Mike. He's in the studio. Good morning, Arkansas Mike.
Hey, good morning. That makes me even more. I just caught the intro
anal
about I came in just before that where I was listening to song requests and playing songs about and then listening to the where was that house that was raided that found those girls? Where was that?
Right.
Manhattan.
Where?
It was in Manhattan.
Was in Manhattan.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was it in Manhattan? What was
that?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And so in the back of my brain I was thinking, oh, because you played the remix, and then and because anytime I hear of things like that, you know, I mean it's tragic, you know, I mean it's plain and simple. And then you transition forward into your sex talk of the day, which makes me even more want to say, play my song of the morning then. Will you take my song request?
Sure. Which one is it?
Have you ever
and
heard
song.
Of the movie?
I'm a man.
The movie,
yeah.
The movie, the soundtrack for the movie Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And
oh
my favorite
God.
Song off that is I'm a Man of Constant Sorrow. That's come on now. You got to play at least a clip of it. That's because
right.
Listening to the subjects. I am a man of constant sorrow. That I think it's appropriate. I'm sorry if it's not, but it sounds like it to me.
Is it Oh Brother, Art?
Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
George
Clooney, okay.
It's hilarious. I mean, it's a phenomenal movie. If you've never watched it, great. But the music is especially
Isn't that where
this
George
one.
Clooney? Was George Clooney in that
one? Yeah, he's the convict, the chain gang. It's set back in like the 1930s, but they do a bluegrass of the song, and the song title is "I'm a Man of Constant Sorrow." When you pull it up, I think it's like track 5. I've actually had the soundtrack before. That's it's just a brilliant movie.
Oh,
the soundtrack is great.
Ryan, Brian, I have to correct Melissa. It wasn't Manhattan. It was in Cleveland, Ohio.
I thought I read Manhattan yesterday. Excuse me. He was arrested in Manhattan, correct?
I don't know. Mario Castro Giuseppe.
Oh, bye. She looks it up. Here you go. Oh, brother, where art thou? Constant sorrow. Here you go, Mike. 29 Americans.
Protection for people free of these conditions, subsidies for low-income people, and the are doing the from outside of the courthouse in New Orleans. This is a really, really big deal. It really is. This is a challenge.
Don't fall down. No.
I had to watch that movie. It sounds good again. I gotta rewatch. I never did watch that movie. Was it a good movie, Mike?
Yeah. Oh, there's. I mean, it. If you want everything you didn't ever want to know, but laugh about it, and it stars George Clooney, it's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's seriously.
Alan, what did you find, Alan?
no, it sounds like he
I gotta watch it.
Arrested Ohio because he was arrested. Hours later, after they found them,
he was. They charged him in Manhattan. Said a trove of lewd photographs of girls discovered in a safe inside the financier Jeffrey Epstein's Manhattan mansion. The same day he was arrested is deepening questions.
Oh wait, hold on. Hello. Oh, you're talking about.
Hi, Mike. I'm sorry. I hear you.
Hi.
I'm sorry.
Oh, good.
She was talking about Charles Ramsey. You were talking about
Talking about the Charles Ramsey thing. Ariel Castro.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ellen. I was talking about Epstein.
No.
Let me see here.
No,
is that Mike Romo coming in?
I'm here.
I'm not in the studio.
He's here. He sounds grouchy.
Okay.
And did you guys know that Ariel Castro?
He sounds a little grouchy, doesn't he?
Yes.
Don't get him going today.
No.
Sounds a little grouchy. All right, let's start this.
I think Ellen. Oh.
No, I was just trying to say, did you guys know that Ariel Castro committed suicide while he was being held in jail?
No.
Who?
Ariel Castro, the one that kidnapped Amanda Berry and the other two girls.
Oh, really?
No.
I didn't know that.
Yes, he hung himself in his cell.
Wow.
I did not know that.
I didn't know that.
Wow. It's almost like a related story is like Mike Romo was hung while he was serving some time. There you go.
Yeah, God. Jeez.
Oh, my God.
Jeez.
Here we go, everybody.
Jeez. Yeah.
Uncle Pervert Show. Here we go.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I have to give Mike Brummel his intro because he loves his intro. Okay, let me get
no,
let me
I
find
don't
Mike
usually.
Brummel's intro. Oh, Jesus. Or let me see his intro. Ellen, let's give Mike Brummel his intro because he deserves it. He's a celebrity and he knows about facts.
Okay. Facts
are
what is his intro?
Let me see. I'm thinking I'm going to find it here. I guess I don't have it. You're lucky, Mike. I'm not going to give you an intro.
That's
but
unfortunate.
I have to introduce you. It is.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what? You know,
blessing
you're
in
make
disguise,
it,
right?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, who's in the studio is Mike Brummel. You have heard of Mike Brummel. We all have heard of Mike Brummel. It was a time that he saved Ronald Reagan when he swallowed that chicken. Mike Brummel went into action, gave him a Heimlich maneuver, but Nancy did not understand, but the picture stood for all the press to see that Mike behind Ronald Reagan with his hips gyrating in him, trying to save him with a Heimlich maneuver, but people misconstrued it as trying to do the president.
Oh, my God.
Great picture.
You even said misconstrued
Mike Brummel,
it.
He said misconstrued.
Yeah.
Mike Brummel is here. We're going to talk about politics and his background. It's working in the media relations with the Ronald Reagan administration. He's also a playwright, a great playwright in his own right, Mrs. Evers, and also Hedy Lamarr, working on a play with Hedy Lamarr. I had the privilege of interviewing one of his talents.
You've interviewed both of them.
Play with Hedy. I sure
you've
did.
Yeah, you've interviewed both of them. Yeah. You did something for the actress playing Hedy Lamarr. I don't know what the word is.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I tried to do my best to hold back, but she's a tremendous talent, by the way. She's a her name again, Mike? What's her name?
Her name is Emily Eberts, and she's going to Ireland with that play in about 3 weeks for the largest arts festival in Ireland. She's going to be performing the play about Hedy Lamarr for a week. So, but she's still scarred from being on your show.
Oh, breaking news, Mike. Ross Perot has passed away.
Oh, did he?
What?
I haven't heard that yet.
Mm.
Really? How old was he?
89. He was very young. Very young.
So
very
young.
Very young.
So much to live for. They're probably going to have a chart on his casket, where he stood and where he fell. Well, can you do your Ross? Come on, Mike, do your Ross Perot impression because it's been so long.
I can do the Ronald Reagan. I can do Ronald Reagan. I can't do Ross Perot, but I can do Ronald Reagan.
Okay, let me hear Ronald Reagan.
Well, let's interview. You can interview Ronald Reagan for the next hour. Well, hello, it's good to be on your show this morning. I kind of think you're a little bit of a douchebag, however. How about that?
That was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I got Ronald Reagan down pretty well. Ronald Reagan would never say that.
I love it.
Though.
You did.
He would never say that.
Oh, Ronald.
Not in public.
Ronnie would.
Not in public.
Ronnie would.
No.
Ronnie's a cowboy.
Maybe so.
He didn't hold,
he
didn't
good
hold
guy.
Back. Yeah.
No, he didn't. Yeah. You're right. I agree with that.
And he was an actor, too.
Yep.
He was an actor.
Do you guys realize that the Carters have been married for 73 years?
That's amazing. Yes, I did. That's amazing. Happily married. Happily married.
Yeah. And they live a very meager lifestyle.
Carter,
he goes around and helps build houses for Habitat for
Humanity. Habitat for Humanity,
Yep. He's a good man.
Yep.
You know, I wasn't, I, you know, I, didn't have the most successful presidency probably that we've seen in American history, but he was a decent man. He was an honest man. And I truly don't mean this as a backhanded compliment, but he has been, he's distinguished himself as an ex-president, as a former president.
Yeah, I agree.
He's done a very good job. Yeah. I
so
saw
he
that.
Came in after Ford, right? So he
What's
came
that?
In after Ford. Right?
He did. Yeah, he defeated Gerald Ford
that was
in 76.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a tough thing, you know.
Yeah, those were ugly times. Yeah.
Yeah. I liked him. I was a young kid, but he was a he's a humanitarian, I think that's what.
Yeah, he was a good man. He was a very decent man. He is a very decent man.
But a very lousy president. And you know why I think he was a, because he couldn't play the political game because you said he was an honest man.
Mm-hmm.
And being a good president,
yeah.
I think he was conflicted a lot, you know.
I think the biggest scandal with him was his brother, the drinker. Remember his brother?
Yeah, that wasn't helpful.
Oh, I love Billy.
Billy.
And Billy,
Billy
Beer?
Yeah.
Billy Beer. And, you know, and the thing with President Carter, before he came into office, he'd served 2 years as governor of Georgia. And that was he may have been in the Georgia legislature. I don't recall that, but his political experience and his experience in government was limited. And when he got into the White House, he was a very controlling executive. He even restructured the way the White House works, with multiple people reporting to him more than a typical president does. He set up kind of a bicycle with spokes. He had all these spokes going out where all these people could come in and talk to him rather than a pyramid, you know, a president and, you know, a few people reporting to him. He eventually changed to a more traditional style, but I think he kind of overwhelmed himself in the way he elected to run the White House, at least initially. So, but I also think you're making a good point. He's an honest man that went to Washington, and that doesn't always go well.
Yeah. He absolutely valued diversity of opinion. But that is actually what created the biggest problems for him, because who was the other one, Mike? He had Cyrus Vance. I remember Cyrus Vance was one. And who was the other one? And he said that's, you know, in his memoirs, that's all they did was fight. And was it Kissinger? Brzezinski. Yeah. And they just, I mean, those were his top two advisors, and they were polar opposites. And they never could give him a clear definition of, you know, a solid path forward, because they constantly bickered with each other. And that created uncertainty, which and I think more than, well, I remember that time very, very well, that when I first started getting into politics, watching Carter and watching, you know, Reagan and watching the Iranian hostages and all that, and you know, it was every night on the news. There was another knockdown drag out at the White House. Yeah.
Yeah, those were tough times. And, you know, being the president at the time of the Iranian Revolution, tough. That was a tough thing. And trying to deal with the Shah of Iran and then the hostages, it was a challenging time. Plus, the economy in the United States was not great, not because of President Carter, but he just happened to become president at the time.
He inherited,
you know,
yeah.
He inherited, yeah. And then, you know, he was a breath of fresh air after Watergate. But any president coming in, I mean, Gerald Ford, I think one thing I would say about Gerald Ford, he doesn't get the credit he deserves, and he gets attacked a lot for pardoning President Nixon, and that's a whole separate issue. But President Ford came into office, and he was an, you know, as politicians go, Gerald Ford was an honest, good guy
from
the Midwest. Is
he Michigan or Ohio?
Correct.
Michigan, yeah.
He's from Michigan, yeah. And he came in the White House at the time of the greatest constitutional crisis since the Civil War. And I one time had, and this was a liberal journalist, and he self-identified as a liberal journalist. And he said, you know, Gerald Ford doesn't get the credit he deserves for holding the country together at a very, very challenging time. And I think that's true. And I think Jimmy Carter, while he doesn't, probably can't point to a lot of successes, specific successes as president, he also was part of holding the country together while still healing from Watergate. I think, you know, Watergate had a profound impact on the American people.
Yeah, a lot of that, too, was that just at that time, we had our bicentennial. And
right.
That was one thing that Ford said, hey, we are going all out. The Freedom Train will visit every state. We will have celebrations every, you know what I'm saying? And that was one thing that really, our patriotism held us together, I think, a lot, too. Everything from silver dollar, you know, you remember the silver dollar, the bicentennial silver dollars, the bicentennial quarters, the bicentennial $2 bills. The, you know, I mean, it was all out. Freedom Train running up and down. So we gathered patriotism in the face of.
No tanks.
So I kind of think that was just a really good moment in our history. And maybe if we last to 250, we might have that coming together again. Who knows? We may not last to 250.
We may. Yeah, I think those are all good points. And the bicentennial was a good celebration. I don't recall one tank on the streets of Washington, D.C. during the bicentennial celebration.
I do remember having my school picture taken with a Liberty Bell next to your hand.
Yeah.
You guys remember that? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yep, I remember that.
Yeah.
Well, didn't you want to talk about switching gears? Probably about as far as you can go from Jimmy Carter to Jeffrey Epstein.
We're going to do what we call a lightning round. I'm going to have you comment on a lot of things. First thing up is Sammy Skull, our investigator, formerly known as Melissa. She got the Pulitzer. Not the Pulitzer.
Melissa,
I saw that.
Okay, good, because I sent it after our conversation about an ice cream date. Anyway, back to the subject.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
And I noticed that Arkansas Mike added me yesterday. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. I was trying to, just as we got cut off, I thought you were asking a question. So I was trying to see if there was if you had a question that I missed, but it cut off.
Wasn't that
so,
nice?
So, yeah, I looked you up.
Did you accept it, Melissa?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's pretty nice. That's cool. That's really nice of you, Mike. All right, here, let's start the show because we only got a little bit of minutes. It's going to be fire. There's a lot of subjects we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the ambassador, of course. We're also going to be talking about a lot of other things. I'd like Mike to comment. Arkansas Mike, Melissa, and Ellen in here. Let's start it off. Sammy School, formerly known as Melissa, has sent us. Melissa, really? Okay. This is from Vimeo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another allegations against Donald J. Trump. Okay. Again, this is not, you got to understand something. When we get sources like this, there's a lot of things on the internet.
Yep.
You take it for what it is. Melissa, thank you for sending this because I did not see it. I'm going to try to play it in her voice.
Do I need to take
Listen.
Heart now?
No, there was nothing comments to me for doing this interview. Yes, everything that I say at this interview will be the truth. I met Donald Trump at some parties I attend that I was working for Mr. Jeffrey Epstein. There was that 3 or 4 times that I had encounters with Donald Trump. I was 13. The first time that I met Donald Trump was at a party at Jeffrey Epstein's mansion. There was an orgy going on, and he was kind of watching off in the distance. And he basically asked if I could come over and give him a hand job. And at first, I wasn't very comfortable with it. This was like my first party, and I didn't think that was my responsibility.
Okay. Sometimes I will stop the thing because I have a question. You're at an orgy. Let's just go with your story. And I was uncomfortable. You're at an orgy, but I was uncomfortable because I don't know that sort of thing I should do. You're at an orgy. All right. Enough said.
But you have to interject. She, and I'm familiar with this story. She's a 13-year-old girl at the time. No. No. But with, I mean, this, and I know you want to play more of this, and that's fine. But with Jeffrey Epstein and what has occurred, there's case one, and now there's case two. In case one, which is the time frame that the woman you were just running the tape of, when that occurred, there were 36 minors that Jeffrey Epstein personally victimized. Orgy and the stuff that went on in his house, and there's a private island somewhere as well. I don't know what went on, obviously I don't know what went on in the airplane, but the airplane eventually became called Lolita something.
The Lolita Express. Wasn't this raised before the campaigning was going on?
Before we go any further, we got to explain to the audience what Lolita means. You guys know. Let's go with what. Lolita means.
Lolita, it's a literature. It's a well-regarded book originally about a man who falls in love with a minor girl.
Mm.
There you go.
So
they get the context of why they named the airplane
Lolita. Yeah.
Because of young girls and older men and that kind of thing. Yes, Melissa, and continue, sweetheart, because you're on a good story.
No, that's it.
I just had to explain to the audience what Lolita meant. No, but you mentioned Lolita Express.
Which is the plane.
Right. Which Donald Trump and Bill Clinton were on, by the way.
Yep.
And some other high-profile people.
Which prince?
Prince Andrew.
Andrew, wasn't it?
It's Prince Andrew.
Which one?
Prince Andrew. It is not Prince Charles.
Is it Andrew?
People keep saying Prince Charles and it's wrong. Prince Andrew, yeah.
It's Prince
I don't know if he was on the plane.
He was on that plane.
Prince Andrew was at a party. With Epstein parties. So I don't know if there's a distinction to be made from being on the plane or being at a party. I don't know, but... he definitely was at party by. I think actually with Prince Andrew, not to dominate the discussion of Jeffrey Epstein, but Prince Andrew was at a party in his honor that Jeffrey Epstein was one of the co-hosts of at Mar-a-Lago, Donald Trump's Florida estate. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Told you, Mike.
Maybe that's why the Queen doesn't like Donald Trump, because she knows about
that.
You know what was the most uncomfortable picture ever, and a lot of people don't understand why it was so comfortable because it's backstory.
And his daughter.
Within the conversation, when Donald Trump went to Britain to meet the Queen, and there was a picture of Donald Trump, the Queen, and there was a picture off the side with him with Prince Harry, and I think off the side his brother. Who's Harry's brother?
William.
The reason why that picture is so uncomfortable. And here's the under story that people are not getting, is that Donald Trump used to brag that he banged Princess Di.
Was a lie.
He used to brag that he did.
Oh yeah, he used to say it. He said he went so far as to say she was going to marry him, that she agreed to marry him, and was going to buy a in Trump Tower, an apartment or something.
That's right.
Yeah, it is totally a lie. It's totally a lie. You did say that about Princess Diana.
So that picture was so uncomfortable. Imagine Donald Trump there saying they banged your mother, your dead mother.
He would probably say, "No, I could have been your daddy."
Jesus. Well, let's get rid of this.
Knowing Donald Trump, knowing Donald Trump, he probably said, "I am your daddy."
Darth Trump, I am your daddy. Let's just say goodbye to Ross Perot for just one second. If you guys don't remember who he is, since his politics thing, here's Ross Perot. It's only a minute. Here we go.
Every time you get in, I'm the only guy that talks numbers. I love this. Nobody else will even talk about it. It's like I've said, it's like a crazy aunt in the basement. Everybody knows she's there, but nobody talks about it. I'm talking about it. Then I can talk, you know, with endless numbers about it. And then when I finish, typically the establishment press said, he didn't tell us enough. I just break up. Nobody else said anything, and I haven't said enough. Let me just talk in general terms today, since no matter how many numbers I give the press right now, it doesn't satisfy them. Number one, we cannot spend our children's money. We are looking on the edge of a revolution of young people who are starting to realize that we, our generation, have put them $4 trillion in debt, and they don't like it, and they shouldn't. Don't we love our children as much as our parents loved us? Sure we do. We cannot spend their money. Now then, that's the easy decision. The hard decision is, how do you fix it? You've got to have, instead of a deteriorating job base in the economy, which is what the last 12 years have given us, you've got to have, first, you've got to stop the decline, stabilize it, turn it into a growing job base, growing industrial base. The only way to do that is to make the finest products in the world. Now, that's something I know a lot about. You've got to put everybody that's breathing back to work in a good, solid job. Then you've got a growing tax base. But in the meantime, you've got to have a real grab and run on that. Stop aggressive spending so you don't lose any more financial blood. Then with a growing tax...
I miss Ross Perot. Talk about the crazy aunt in the basement. I cry.
You know, rest in peace, Ross Perot.
I had about two hours. Yes, he had big ears. He kind of looked like Howdy Doody. I had two hours at a dinner with him one night, and I cannot say that I was impressed by him by the person. I was impressed by his beliefs. He really, really, really wanted this country to not go global. He really wanted us to keep our manufacturing base here. He saw the writing on the wall that we were going to start shipping jobs all over the world, and he was against it. And that, looking now 20 years later, I kind of give him credit for. Part of that, you know, okay, some of it, okay, but when he talked about quality, that's when, because he was absolutely anti-consumerism, anti-cheap. Y'all remember, big disposable lighters, he hated them because it's consumerism. It's cheap, cheap, cheap. No, make a quality product. Invest in Zippo. I mean, he was over and over and over again, invest in our American quality. We can make the best products here. Don't turn us into a cheap economy. And he's pretty well right, in my
opinion. That's right. Well, God rest your soul, Ross Perot. And going back to our story, thank you. Thank you, Arkansas Mike. And going back to our story with Sammy School Melissa, who gave us a story, we're going to continue now. This is Katie J. This is her, the kind of disguise.
What are you calling Melissa? What are you calling Melissa?
Well, Sammy School. In fact, we got to give you
Sammy.
A name.
Tell them how you do it, Brian. Tell them how you do it.
All right. Here we go.
Start from the beginning. Don't leave anything out.
Okay.
This is how porn stars get their names.
How porn stars get their name. Your first pet, the street you lived on, or something. Yeah, it's your first pet and the first street you lived on. That's how you get your name. So that's why, I guess, Melissa, Sammy School, your first pet was named Sammy? Was that what it was?
Yes, it was a poodle that bit me. Mm-hmm, Sammy. Black.
Yes. Okay, so Mike, what's the name of your first pet?
My, I've already done this before. Do I hear a dog barking?
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure I heard a dog barking.
I know.
Sammy.
Charlie, that's
my,
it.
My, my name was Rocky Washington, which actually kind of sounds a little pornish.
Rocky Washington?
Rocky Washington.
That's enough.
The dog loves
it. Get outside.
I do hear a dog.
Well, so when we're on the air. They love the
I
show.
I apologize.
I'm good.
I do. I apologize.
Oh, okay, Melissa.
No,
we understand that when we're on the show, we're going to hear outside.
Some of the callers I'm sometimes confronted.
Oh, okay.
They do. Well, the story goes.
I like the dog.
Melissa gave us a story. I do, too. The KDJ was 13 at the time. And now with the breaking news with this guy, Epstein, who ran the sex trafficking things with minors. So she was a minor at the time. So she's describing the incident when she first met Donald Trump. And here we go again. Let's see if I can get
it. I came to this interview on my free will. No, there was nothing promised to me for doing this interview. Yes, everything that I say at this interview will be the truth. I met Donald Trump at...
You're back at the beginning.
I hate when I play it this way because sometimes it stalls on me. I can't control it. I'll try to get it back.
While you're doing that, can I throw in a couple of points about her?
The first time that I met Donald Trump was at a party at Jeffrey Epstein's mansion. There was an orgy going on, and he was kind of watching off in the distance. And he basically asked if I could come over and give him a hand job. And at first, I wasn't very comfortable with it. This was like my first or second, first party, and I didn't think that was my responsibility. But my recruiter told me that I needed to do it, so I agreed to. And then he, before I gave him a hand job, he kind of slapped my hand away and said, you need to use a glove. And the recruiter ran over and handed me a glove and said, no one touches Mr. Trump's penis without a glove. So.
That is true. That is absolutely
That's
true.
That's an interesting fact, actually, because that he is a allegedly he's a germaphobe. So that's an interesting point. I'm going to add one thing, too, because let me throw out one thing. And it came up with Professor Ford when she testified about Kavanaugh in Congress. It came up with the columnist who fairly recently came out about Donald Trump, what she says Donald Trump sexually assaulting her at Bergdorf's in Manhattan. And this lady, now that I'm listening to, I think I may have seen a video of her speaking too. I know they're saying about this lady, they said about the other two women that I mentioned, they're talking about, well, they just don't sound very credible. The problem is these three women, not one of them, well, with the possible exception of the columnist for the magazine, they really aren't regularly speaking in public. And secondly, they're definitely not speaking about sexual encounters they wish didn't happen. So I want to make a point just about all these women. If they sound awkward, if they don't sound convincing necessarily in their interviews or their presentations, or they sound nervous or whatever, going out, talking about a situation in their life that was not pleasant, not an easy thing to do. So I just throw that in the universe because I keep hearing people attacking these women based on their presentational style. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to get you off course on that.
Okay.
I thought there was a point that needed to be made.
Okay. Well, we'll continue. Oh, thank you, Mike. Here we go.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I needed to use a glove, I gave him a hand job, and then immediately after, you know, he had an orgasm, he left, and I didn't see him again at that party. Jeffrey Epstein is a billionaire friend of Donald Trump's that was responsible for throwing the sex parties. there was, I originally came to New York trying to be a model, and in my travels, I met a girl named Tiffany there who was very interested in me and said that, you know, she, that's what she did, is that she helped girls, you know, get what they wanted, and she could help me get into modeling, that she knew a lot of people that were higher ups and that it would be no problem. And so that's why, you know, she, but I would just basically have to come model at a couple of events and meet some people. It would be no sweat. So, of course, I went. You know, that sounded like no big deal. And she was recruiting the girls to come to these parties. And they all looked, I mean, most of them were, you know, my age. There was, you know, maybe a couple girls that were maybe 14 or 15, but it seemed to me like we were all very young, so.
Okay.
Jeffrey Epstein knew that I was 13 years old. When he interviewed me, he asked me to get down to my bra and my just my panties, and I thought that was weird, but, I mean, modeling, maybe it was something about my figure. And he asked that I give him a massage. So he, and then he asked me my age. He asked me, and I told him, you know, I told him that I was 13. I told him why I was there. And he basically said, well, you'll do. You know, I'm sure that you'll fit pretty nicely here. And then he tried to basically flip himself inside of me. And I pushed him away, yeah. And I said, you know, I'm, because at that point in time, I still believed that there was models. And then there was the girls that did that. Like, I thought there was a separation. So, you know, I told him that I wasn't interested in that, but he said that I would do. And as far as Donald Trump, he knew that I was 13, and I believe that Tiffany told him he seemed to take a liking to me because I was I was so young, and I was also a virgin. So, I don't know. He's... It seemed like he wasn't really into having having girls that were liked by the other guys. He kind of, you know, the whole glove, he kind of liked things to be his first, you know, if that, for lack of, you know, a better term. But he was the one who wanted to get to a girl before everyone else. Donald Trump knew that I was 13 because the first night that I was there, Tiffany actually suggested that, and she had a whole bunch of different wigs, and I expressed interest in them. You know, I always told her that I would love to walk around with blue hair, and so I tried some on, and there was a blonde wig that she said that looked great on me. So I wore that wig, and Donald Trump had specifically asked about me because I remind him of his daughter, and she said, well, she's 13 as well. So he knew the first time that he saw me, but he took a liking to me because I look like his daughter. And the reason I'm coming out now is when it happened originally, I just wanted to forget about the whole incident. And when I saw that he was running for president, I felt it was my responsibility to come out and tell our country what kind of man this person is. I don't think that he should even be the dog catcher, let alone running the greatest country in the world. After I met Tiffany at the bus station, she took me to, basically went to her house, her apartment, and got ready. I put on a blonde wig because it seemed fun to pretend to be someone different, but we went to the party that I was basically interviewing for, and Jeffrey Epstein was the one that was running the party. He had a quick meeting with everyone that was employed there, and then he had a private interview with me. The first time that I met Jeffrey Epstein, he did try to force himself inside of me without getting the go-ahead or anything, and then on the, it was probably about the third or fourth party is when he basically forced, it was another massage, and it was basically like, it wasn't sex, but it was, there was penetration, and I told him that I didn't want that, but he kind of got a little irritated, so I don't know, there was something about him that I guess I kind of held him, like, I held a lot of resentment towards him. By that time that happened, I kind of already started catching on that maybe I wasn't there for modeling and maybe I was just getting used for things, and I felt that kind of held him responsible. I did receive money to go to these parties. After every party, I was paid by Mr. Epstein. There wasn't, out of all the girls that were there with me, most of them were 13, 14. I think the oldest one might have been 16, just turned 16. She'd been there for a while. It was actually, he liked to watch other people have sex. He's a germ, doesn't like germs, so he, rather than partaking, he just watches. So, and Tiffany had informed him that I was the virgin, and so it was Tiffany who introduced us. Second time that I saw Mr. Trump was same scenario. He was on looking at an orgy, and Tiffany came over to me and said that Donald Trump had requested that I perform oral sex on him. I'd never done something like that with anybody, so I was a little nervous. So I walked up to him and he was sitting there very proud, like, and I just kind of moved in that direction, and he kind of slapped me away and said, "What are you doing? You know, you need to put a condom on." Like I was some like dirty filter or something without a condom. Tiffany ran over and handed him a condom and apologized, profusely, and said that would never happen again. And she looked at me and scolded me basically like a child and said that, that's not how, Donald Trump always, anytime he touches penis, it needs to have a condom on or a glove, and especially when it comes to performing oral sex. So I apologized, and then I performed oral sex on him. And once again, once he was done, he hopped up, and that's the last I saw of him at that party. It's like, once he's done, he's out. So... sometimes before some of the things that I noticed that were weird with him was sometimes before the parties he would come over Jeffrey Epstein and himself would kind of banter back and forth, and he was very Donald Trump was very racist. He said a lot of racist things. Like there was a lot of comments towards Mr. Epstein about being Jewish. And called him a Jew bastard, so that he was cheap. And there was some words I didn't even understand, something about the shape of his penis being directly related to his mole. I'm not too familiar with the Jewish tradition, but I'm pretty sure that whatever he was saying wasn't very nice. also referred to, people of Hispanic Hispanic names, they called them sticks. That was around the first time that the World Trade Center had gotten the bomb in the 90s. He was, talking about the towel heads and how, we would just be better off if we, I didn't let them in or, basically got rid of every single one that was already here. And I thought, it made me really uncomfortable, really, really uncomfortable. He also loved to call black people niggers, and he Arabic people he called sand niggers. The only time that he tried to give me some money was our last encounter together. where he acted out a rape fantasy. I was forced to give that money back because Jeffrey Epstein paid us after the party. So, but he just gave me the money. I don't even know why he gave it to me. Maybe to make me feel more cheap, but it was a pretty brutal. It was a rape fantasy to him, but I wasn't playing. So there was those two times, and then there was actually.
Okay. We're going to have to continue this later because I have Mike here.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me stop
this.
Yeah,
that's
this.
A lot.
We get the gist of it. And because we do have another show coming up. Unbelievable. 90 minutes goes so freaking fast. Damn it, Mike. Damn, it's not too much. Let's just go with really quickly. Here we go. Donald Trump. The ambassador. We're gonna quick. Unless you have a quick comment on this one, Mike.
I do have a quick comment.
Sure.
Yeah. With this young now, I don't know how old she is now. I guess she's probably in her 40s. I'm not sure how old she is now, but you know, this is all really salacious stuff. There's no doubt about it. I tend to believe her. The thing that's really coming to a head right now is. Trump's labor secretary, Alex Acosta. Alex Acosta was the U.S. attorney who prosecuted Jeffrey Epstein in what I call case number one. Case number two is what started over the weekend and yesterday. Case number one, 36 victims. Very, very credible evidence. If it would have gone to trial, I don't know any legal scholar, court analyst, anybody – that doesn't think Jeffrey Epstein would have been convicted. He would have been convicted, and he would have been sentenced to prison for the rest of his life. 36 individual minors who were sexually victimized by Epstein.
Not just the 36, Mike. Also in that indictment, there were 80 listed witnesses. It's not just the 36 that came forward, it's also the 80.
I'm just talking about the victims because the victims are what gears.
That's
what I'm talking about.
The 2005 one had 80 witnesses also listed.
I know there's a lot of witnesses. I'm talking about the victims because the victims gear sentencing. And my point is he should have been, he would have been convicted, and he should have been convicted, and he should have been after conviction, he would have been sentenced to life in prison because of the volume of sentences. I get it. And thanks for sharing the number of witnesses, but I was kind of focusing on the victims. So,
Mike, can't wait. I got to interrupt one thing, Mike, because I see our time. Mike, are you available? We never did this before because I really want to get in some really heavy political talk.
Yeah.
I really do. Are you available after the other interview? Ellen can set up the show and we can continue this because I really like to get into it. I mean, it's on your schedule. I don't know if you're available or not.
Well, what time did you have?
Because I'm looking at the clock right now. We only have 10 minutes, and I got a feeling we're not going to get – right.
Yeah.
But
the
other show is going to be – well, yeah, it's going to be – the other show will end at – Ellen, help me out. 9 o'clock?
The other show comes at 8:30. It'll end at 10 o'clock your time, Brian.
Okay, we'll end it – we'll go an hour – yeah, well, it'll be 10 o'clock. Where are you at, Mike? You're on the East Coast?
He's in Colorado, so that'll be 9 o'clock
I'm in
his time.
No, it'll be 10 o'clock my time.
Okay. Would you be available, Mike?
Yeah, I could come back about 10:15. Is that okay?
Okay, that would be cool because I really want to get into heavy politics with you today. There's things we want to go over. There's things that they found out about kids in cages. There's stuff that this, like you're saying, this tape, and then I want to get into the UK thing, and I want to get into the farmers. We made a live call to the Black Farmers Association. We'll make a live call there. I mean, this guy was on CNN. He was happy to come on our show. So there's a lot of political things I really want to talk to you about. So, Ellen, if you don't mind, it's 9 o'clock now. I mean, we got 9 minutes now. If you don't mind setting up another show at 10 for Mike Bromo, could you do that for me, sweetheart? Uh-huh.
can I, am I able to do it while the show's going on?
Could you? I think you could. I don't know if you could. We never did it that way before.
Yeah, we've never done it that way before.
But we'll do it. We can do it. We do the impossible. Mike, 10:15. 10:15, and Ellen,
yeah.
And Ellen will confirm the show to you in Facebook.
That's fine.
And
yeah.
So.
Yep.
We'll confirm the show, because what we'll do is we'll break about an hour of sex talk and get Mike Bromo in, because there's a lot of stuff. And Melissa has a lot of things. When Melissa sends me stuff, that means she had it on her mind, and I think she wants to go a little deeper into that too. All right, buddy. So it's 8 o'clock now, 8 minutes now until the show is over, and we're going to set the show up again, another show in a couple of hours, and Mike Bromo will be back on at 10:15 Pacific Standard Time, 1 o'clock 10:15, Eastern Standard Time.
9:15, isn't it 9:15 Pacific Time, right?
No, no, the show starts at 10, wait. Yeah,
10, it starts at 10 Eastern.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 10:20 Central, 9:20 Mountain, 8:20 Pacific.
Yeah.
So it'll be in two hours it'll be 10:20 Pacific, 11:20 Mountain, 12:20 Central, 1:20 Eastern.
Got it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay.
Let me just say this. At 8:30 Pacific time,
hold on.
I have something for about 45 minutes.
Pacific Standard Time. From 8:30 to 10 Pacific Standard Time is when the show goes on, the second show with Allison.
Okay, so it would be 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. 10 a.m. Pacific Standard
Time,
I'll come back at
11. I'll come back at 11.
No, that's too late. Come back
at
10:15.
Mike.
Come back at 10:15
no,
Pacific. Okay, Ellen.
Okay.
Then you go ahead and talk, Ellen, because we're confused.
Yeah,
when you
Ellen,
talk over
Ellen,
me. Go ahead.
When they come back.
Go ahead.
Okay. The show will end at 10 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, which is 9 o'clock your time, Mike. You're an hour behind Brian.
No, he's not.
No, it's already 9:30 where I'm at.
Okay. Mike, what time is it where you are right now?
He's ahead of Brian.
9:23. I'm ahead of.
Yeah.
How are you ahead of Brian? Lori,
because we have daylight
Colorado
saving time. Wait, slow down, Ellen. Mike, what time is
it
where
Colorado.
You are?
It's 9:23.
Okay, it's 8:23 where I am. So your show will start at 11:15, Mike.
My time. Fine.
Your
I'll
time.
Be there. I'll call in. I'll patch back in between 11 and 11:15. My time.
You got it, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got it.
Okay, because you've got it's daylight saving time, Ellen. Okay, now continue to talk among yourselves.
Okay, the one thing I wanted, the next thing I want to say about Acosta real quick before we end this segment is the Secretary of Labor, he really did give Epstein that a truly unprecedented sweet deal where Epstein, his criminal prosecution in federal court for 36 victims, was deferred, one prosecuted. Epstein ended up doing a little bit of state time, a matter of months, on work release. Was the only penalty he got in case number one. And it's a deal that the Department of Justice is currently investigating. Congress, I think, is going to start investigating it. And they're now calling for, some people in Congress are calling for Acosta's resignation. Because one of the duties of the Department of Labor and the Secretary of Labor in the United States is to be involved in the efforts to stop sex trafficking in the United States. So we have a Secretary of Labor who gave a notorious sex trafficker a pass.
All right.
So that's where we're at today with the Secretary of Labor.
And add to that, Mike, that you're the federal judge that said by Acosta giving this pass, he violated the law by giving that pass. That was a federal judge that has come back and said that too. Yeah.
You're right. That's a good point. He did. It's these are strange times when it comes to this, and and the thing too is there's so much going on now in the criminal justice system regarding sex trafficking, and I don't want to use the word prevalent because I'm not quite sure if that's correct, but it's far more widespread than I ever would have imagined. I'm having a hard time getting my hands around how serious and broad, maybe prevalent is the right word, of a problem sex trafficking of minors is in the United States. So, question I have, and maybe let me ask Melissa a question real quick. Is the lady who we were just listening to talking about her encounter when she was 13, was she a runaway?
Yes.
Do you know? She was running away.
I was going to bring that up myself. Where were the parents? It said she
came to New York for
modeling reasons.
Yeah. I was wondering where the parents were. So I assume she was in some sort of runaway situation, but I didn't know that. It's such a sad, horrible. And the idea that, we're on a radio show talking about children, lots of children, being sexually abused, raped, et cetera, by powerful men is just mind-boggling in so many ways. It's, and also in the mix, you got Trump in the mix. There's questions about Clinton's connections with Jeffrey Epstein, but Alan Dershowitz, one of Trump's big supporting lawyers,
saw him involved too.
Yeah,
the
so
Dersh.
He was one of O.J. Simpson's lawyers, so I'm not saying Alan Dershowitz necessarily has the moral foundation of a priest. Well, that's not a good example. Has necessarily the best morals in the world, but I gotta say, it's every time I hear one of these, and I'm sure we're gonna hear more names drop. It's shocking to me. It's hard to get my hands around. I do think Secretary of Labor needs to resign before he's fired. I'm done ranting.
Yeah. We're going to talk about Acosta, too. That's why I wanted more time with you. It is a minute, and Mike is coming back. We're going to kill this show because the love rule is coming on.
Okay, let's put a bullet in it. And I'll be back at 10:15 Pacific time.
There you go, my friend. There you go.
Got it.
Ellen, if you can set up the show, 10:15. Thank you, Mike.
Pacific time. Thank you
for being a good sport.
Yeah.
And then we're going to pick you up. We're going to fix you up with the love guru.
You know, you keep forgetting that Melissa and I are having ice cream dates.
Exactly. Just butt out of this, Brian.
Yeah.
Okay.
You've already taken
right,
care of it.
Yeah.
All right, everybody.
I'll talk
we'll
to
see
you next
soon. We'll see you in a couple hours.
Okay,
and the rest of people who are listening to us, our show begins with our love guru. She's up next in about 30 seconds. So we're going to kill this show, and we'll be right back with love. Will be the love boat. Come on, Melissa. Oh, she left. Exciting and new. There you go. Bye, everybody.
So,
we'll be right back with more show.
Yeah.
All right, sweetheart. See if you can set it up, baby, because you know how to do it. Set it up at 10 a.m. Pacific time. That'll be 12 your time.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.